This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning to you. It is Thursday morning, and the roads are dry, which is pretty amazing given what we were told was going to happen yesterday. A lot of kids got a free day off. Can we just say that? Once again, I think maybe school administrators could take a lesson from this. Any thoughts on that, Kim?
I really think it's a liability thing, because I agree that yesterday was not a necessary snow day. And now I think some of these districts are getting to the point where they would be having to look at making it up, which students will not be thrilled if they have to stay later into the school year, or if there was some sort of like a, you know, teacher development day, maybe they have to give that up and have the students in class.
Right, right. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they... I guess you just err on the side of caution. They certainly used to not err on the side of caution, but these days lots of schools were off yesterday. And I know down to the south they got a little more of a mess, but in St. Louis proper, I watched a live shot this morning because all these were set up in advance, where there was a TV reporter out on the street somewhere in South St. Louis, and they actually went to him live and said, Justin, What can you tell us about what the streets and the side streets in St. Louis are looking like this morning? Did they do a good job? Well, first of all, it didn't matter if they did a good job, because nothing happened.
There was no job to do.
there was really no job to do. And he even compared it. This looks so different than it did back in January when we had that snow. Well, we didn't have the kind of snow we had back in January. Of course it looks good. I mean, I don't know. I hated doing those live shots when I worked in news. I kind of feel bad for the guy. They probably told him he had to go out and do it. But people watching it aren't stupid. You have to assume they're looking at that thinking, well, why are you comparing this to January? I don't know.
I think my concern leaving the house today, because I didn't leave the house after I got home yesterday, was potential ice.
Yes.
But I really didn't notice that. I don't know if the crews pre-treating the streets with that brine was effective, well, or if it just washed away and it just simply wasn't enough. I don't remember seeing a lot of sleet. Like, I heard a little bit of it outside our house, but not a substantial amount.
I was out and around through the afternoon. I heard a little bit of sleet. The freezing rain clearly never happened. There was some rain, but it pretty quickly turned to snow, so I don't think that was a huge issue. I don't know. It just ended up being a nothing burger, and we all got worked up over it, and now I have more eggs than I can ever eat. What the hell am I going to do with all those eggs?
I'll take eggs off
you. Want some eggs?
Yeah,
you want some? I'm handing out eggs.
I'll pay you for eggs.
Oh, no. He said he'll hand them.
Oh, yeah.
Those things are like gold now, so I don't expect him just to hand
them.
I know. I don't expect him just to hand them to me.
I should auction off all the eggs. I'm not hoarding eggs. It's just that I went to the grocery store, if you missed this yesterday. I went to the grocery store a couple days ago, and I'm shopping, and I see the eggs, and I'm like, What? There were eggs in there that were $8 a carton. And then there were some that were $5 a carton. I don't know why some were cheaper than others, but I bought another carton of eggs, and I get home. My wife says, there are two more cartons of eggs in the refrigerator out in the garage. I think we have enough eggs for a while. So now we have more eggs than we can probably use. But, you know, it's almost like hoarding toilet paper. When you saw it, you bought it just because you're afraid you wouldn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
So later this morning, I had this question yesterday. What in the hell is going on with eggs? And when does this problem fix itself? And we're going to address this morning. We've got Richard Stern on, he's an expert at Heritage on the economy, and he's been looking at this problem, and hopefully we're going to get a better explanation on the whole egg shortage coming up here about 7:35 this morning. Got some Doobie Brothers tickets to give away this hour. If you're listening early today, you get the bonus, because you're going to have a chance to win some Doobie Brothers tickets. We're going to get to that for you just a little later as well. Jim Talent, Shannon Bream, Griff Jenkins, so much going on out there every day with Trump. Peace talks with Russia. You know, Lee Zeldin over there finding gold bars that were thrown off the Titanic by the Biden administration. It's unbelievable the fraud they're uncovering that was done under this previous administration. It's sickening. And much of it has been going on for years. Eric Burleson did a fantastic job yesterday at that transparency subcommittee hearing. And we'll get some of that sound for you as well. We'll get to all of that and more for you coming up in just a couple minutes on this Thursday morning. Glad you are with us. Carl, let's get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
How soon do you want the Department of Education to be closed?
Oh, I'd like it to be closed immediately. Look, the Department of Education's a big con job.
Yes. Yes, indeed it is, Mr. President. Thank you. And now he's in charge, and now he can do something about it. So just stand by, please.
This is a new DOJ, and we are taking steps to protect Americans, American citizens, and angel moms, like the mom standing right behind me.
Man, there is a new chief in charge at the DOJ. Her name is Pam Bondi, and guess what? She is now targeting people like the governor of New York and the state's attorney up there, Letitia James. She's going after them for protecting illegal criminal aliens over U.S. citizens.
The American people's anger over this betrayal is what gave birth to the concept of DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency.
Thank you. Marjorie Taylor Greene is the one they picked to chair this committee, and I don't think they could have picked a better person other than maybe Nancy Mace, because between the two of them, they absolutely have destroyed the left in this committee hearing yesterday.
Do you think calling Elon Musk a dick is effective messaging for confronting what is a potentially irreversible transformation of the U.S. government?
Well, he is a dick.
Carl, we just played the whole bite there. This is a guy named Robert Garcia. I don't know if you heard this yesterday or not, but he was in this committee. He's in the subcommittee. He's one of the Democrat minority members of this subcommittee on government waste. Imagine this now, right? They say that if you get in an argument with somebody and you finally get reduced to name calling, you've lost the argument. That when you get to that point, you don't have any facts to offer. You just start cussing at somebody. You've probably lost the argument.
I would agree with that.
And Robert Garcia is case in point yesterday in this hearing. He says to one member, well, one time you brought a Richard Pick onto the floor of the House and you showed it to all of us. Well, I want to show you a picture of another dick, he says. And then he pulls out a picture of Elon Musk and puts it on an easel behind him on the floor of the House. I mean, in the subcommittee meeting. And it was unbelievable. I'm thinking to myself, you're angry at somebody who's not taking a salary and uncovering fraud and waste in this government. Why don't you redirect your anger towards something that matters, like the trillions of dollars of taxpayer money you've helped vote on wasting in this country.
It's interesting to me to think about how many people supported people like Elon Musk or Donald Trump. And I'm talking about people like Ellen DeGeneres or yes. Oprah. All of these people who thought Elon Musk was so cool and he was doing so many great things for our country, along with Trump. And then as soon as they have any sort of role in government, they are, you know, public enemy number one.
Yeah, I know. It was unbelievable. We're seeing it. You're seeing it in real time between Jasmine Crockett and Maxine Waters and some of these other crazies that are protesting daily. They've really run out of things to talk about. They have completely run out of decent arguments against what's going on here. They're on the losing side of this argument. The American people can see it. The Democrats, for some reason, can't see it. It's all they've got to pivot to, it seems like. And I can't wait. Later today, Donald Trump says he's going to name names. He's going to hold a news conference. He's got one scheduled later today to reveal the names and the entities of people involved in government fraud and abuse. You won't believe some of what they've uncovered. I'm going to play you what Lee Zeldin had to say about this yesterday and what he has uncovered just in his department. Of what the Biden administration tried to do in the final days of the administration. They had cash. They wanted to get out the door to some of their political buddies in these NGOs, but they were running out of time. And it sounds fraudulent, and I don't think there's any way that it's not fraudulent, and I hope each and every one of the people that made this decision is charged with it. I hope they follow the money and see where that money was going. Your taxpayer dollars. We're going to get to that for you coming up here in just a couple of minutes. It is a Thursday morning, though, and Carl Middleman, yes. Who's bringing us our national anthem?
The band Ricochet.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV Plus.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and 3-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey. You know that song, the Doobie Brothers? They're coming out to Hollywood Casino Amphitheater. Tickets go on sale tomorrow, but you have a chance to win a pair this morning. They're going to be there September 4th, it sounds like, at the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater. Michael McDonald and the boys will be out there playing, and it should be a great time. So we'll give away a pair of tickets right now. 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. And since it is the 13th, lucky 13, caller number 13 will win the tickets to see the Doobie Brothers. 314-241-9797. Best of luck to you. That's a show I wouldn't mind seeing, Carl, because again, who knows how long they're going to be around.
I saw them. This is the third year in a row that they've been here, so I saw them 2 years ago, and it was a really good show. And Michael McDonald still sounds great.
Yeah, I have an embarrassing admission to make. I have never seen them live.
I've seen them with him and without him.
Wow.
They're both, I mean, John Hartman's a great guitar player and singer. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Both versions are good.
So I mentioned earlier I want to talk about Lee Zeldin. And this guy is has gone in to take over the EPA. But before he starts figuring out environmental issues, he's looking at waste. And I don't know if you remember this or not. I don't remember if I played it, but one of the undercover organizations went in and they caught a member of the Biden administration admitting that they were doing all they could to dump the gold bars over the side of the boat before Donald Trump got in office. Now, what they meant was we're trying to get rid of all of this money to our buddies before Trump takes over and cuts it off. They knew that was going to happen. So Zeldin was aware of that interview. Listen to this.
An extremely disturbing video circulated 2 months ago featuring a Biden EPA political appointee talking about how they were tossing gold bars off the Titanic, rushing to get billions of your tax dollars out the door before Inauguration Day. The gold bars were tax dollars, and tossing them off the Titanic meant the Biden administration knew they were wasting it.
Yeah, yes, they did. So here's what he found. What he found, you don't have to be a forensic auditor to realize what fraud looks like. Now it's just a matter of finding out who did it. Listen to this.
Fortunately, my awesome team at EPA has found the gold bars. Shockingly, roughly $20 billion of your tax dollars were parked at an outside financial institution by the Biden EPA. This scheme was the first of its kind in EPA history, and it was purposely designed to obligate all of the money in a rush job with reduced oversight. Even further, this pot of $20 billion was awarded to just 8 entities that were then responsible for doling out your money to NGOs and others at their discretion with far less transparency. Just under $7 billion was sent to one entity, called the Climate United Fund. I'm sure you and I now have some of the same questions. How do these organizations decide how to allocate funding? How much money have they given out so far and to whom? Are there any former Biden EPA staffers who are now working at these entities?
Yeah, aren't those all good questions? I don't know why that audio is so bad. It didn't sound like that when I was editing it, Carl. We'll have to figure out if there's something wrong with my system there. But you get the point. So they moved $20 billion to an outside bank so the money could be distributed to these NGOs run by a bunch of their buddies. The Climate Fund got $7 billion of your tax money with no accountability because that administration's gone. We don't know who runs that fund, and the money could already have been sent. I'll guarantee you that fund makes contributions to political candidates. How much of that money was funneled back into Democrat pockets? You have to ask.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just so much sketchy stuff that happened. And it, you know, obviously you and I feel like there's a lot of corruption that happened within the Biden administration, well, specifically within the Biden family. But I think even just with the last few weeks and the spending, just so much stuff that they did, it felt like to screw over the Trump administration.
Yeah.
I just saw that poll where it said Biden is now the least popular living U.S. president, and Trump's favorability in this latest poll is near record high.
Well, it should be.
Right.
It should be, because even people that didn't vote for him can't deny the fact that he is every day doing what he told you he would do on the campaign trail. And instead of hiding, I mean, Joe Biden signed a flurry of executive orders when he took the oath of office that same day. And then he just kind of drifted off, like he never talked to Vladimir Putin in the 4 years he was in office. He was interested in was assuaging our enemies, and in some cases our allies, by funneling your tax dollars to them. That was his foreign policy. It's unbelievable. And I'm so happy it's stopping. We're going to have Eric Burleson on tomorrow morning, just so you know. We've already got him scheduled on Friday morning to talk more about what this subcommittee is hoping to get accomplished. All right, coming up, we're going to get to Kim on a whim. We'll be right back.
Kim on a whim.
There's just this heartbreaking story about this 12-year-old girl who has been told that she will not be put on the heart transplant list because she's not been vaccinated against COVID-19 and the flu. This is Cincinnati Children's Hospital that is telling her it will not treat this girl. They've been treating this girl for close to 10 years. Her parents adopted her from China when she was 4, knowing that she had this heart issue and that she would be needing a transplant at some point.
Right.
And were obviously hopeful and had no issues getting care up until when the time came to get the heart transplant. And all of a sudden they're saying, you can't do that. And this didn't come out until later yesterday, but it sounds like this girl is a distant relative of J.D. Vance. It says
by marriage, right?
Yeah, it says yes. A distant relative of the VP by marriage through his half-siblings. So a bit of a stretch, but that's the headline that I've started to see.
Well, if you're going to have a connection that's going to pay off for you, that might be a good one.
You know what? I was going to say, yeah. If the name recognition will help and he can pull some strings to tell them how absolutely pathetic their rule is, please, by all means, do so. Listen to part of the story when they were talking about, the woman you're going to hear is the mom of this girl.
I called the child's advocate from Cincinnati Children's to see if they could help us with a religious exemption and so forth. And he came back and said that they said they're not going to change their policy and this is what it is. And we are more than welcome to go find another hospital if we didn't like it.
Janine says she's frustrated because she says her daughter is healthy other than the heart condition. She says the situation gives her anxiety.
It's not right. It's, we don't believe in doing the vaccination part of it.
We reached out to Cincinnati Children's Hospital about the issue and a spokesperson sent us this statement. At Cincinnati Children's, clinical decisions are guided by science, research, and best practices. We tailor care plans to each patient in collaboration with their family to ensure the safest, most effective treatment.
You know what I have to say to that? Shame, shame, shame. Shame on you for your disgusting, pathetic policy, and shame on you for your terrible research, because if you actually did your research and looked into what's come out, you would see that they have finally acknowledge that what was sold to people as this very safe COVID-19 vaccine is not. And please, someone enlighten me. What the heck does you being vaccinated against COVID-19 and the flu have anything to do with you getting a heart? Seriously, like somebody answer that question for me, because in my mind, there's absolutely no connection.
There's more to the story, because they claim, and it's almost like they're going back and using COVID crisis numbers to make this policy. That's it, because they said that they lost. In the beginning of the pandemic, we had many transplant patients become deathly ill. We lost a number of our transplant patients to COVID-19, because they're more likely to have severe outcomes. The first year after transplant is when they're at the highest risk, and they do have a lifelong risk of severe disease, and transplant patients are dying because of COVID-19.
So let the person make that decision. If they want to take that risk, let them take that risk and tell them, here's what we're seeing. I don't even believe that. I believe there's likely other factors at play, and that maybe they also had COVID, and that, but that wasn't ultimately what did it. But okay, fine. Have them sign a waiver saying, I acknowledge that I could be at a higher risk of COVID-19, whatever. But to tell somebody that you just straight up won't do the heart transplant because of that is just awful.
It's a death sentence. So you're saying basically, we're going to condemn you to death and not give you this transplant, because if we did and then you got COVID-19, you might die anyway. Really? I mean, could you imagine being the parent when that news was delivered? I'd want to stand up and throat punch somebody.
I can just imagine what my parents would do that situation.
Well, I mean, I don't know how many options you have or how many other healthcare systems you can go to that don't have that policy. I mean, that's the big question. They said you're welcome to seek services somewhere else. Where do you go? Do you go to every transplant service in America and try to find one that says, hey, we're going to do this? They probably already got a list of people, so you're far down the list at that point.
Right. I mean, I know they are trying to find a different transplant center. They have a GoFundMe page that, as of yesterday morning, has already raised more than $50,000. And I assume, with this story getting as much attention as it is, and rightfully so, I'm guessing it's even more now.
Might be interesting if the head of that hospital gets a phone call from the White House.
Please. Seriously, please call J.D. Vance.
If you want any more funding to flow to Cincinnati Children's Hospital, you might want to reconsider this decision.
I mean, this just goes back to the COVID era when patients were being told they couldn't be treated for other things, not just transplants, but other conditions if they were not vaccinated. It just boggles my mind that a hospital could adopt such a terrible policy that just has no... It's not even backed up by research now. Even if they did have this policy, which I think was stupid from the absolute get-go, but let's just say they did, and they felt like they could back it up because you had all this information coming out claiming it was safe, and anyone who said otherwise was silenced. Well, now that's just not the case anymore. So why would they not change their policy? Just like all these companies, like Meredith, that used to own KMOV when I worked there, they forced it on all of us, obviously, which is why I lost my job. Well, guess what? They, like many other companies, dropped their mandate for all their employees once they realized this was no longer a thing. It was no longer pandemic level. And the vaccine does not work.
Yes. No, I agree. We had that interview on. I was trying to find it the other day with the doctor who's written the book about the Pfizer papers. I'm not immediately finding that, Carl, here, but...
Naomi Wolf,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to get her on the show. We've gone through her publisher to get her on here. She talked about the statistics and how many, particularly young children, had lasting health effects from the vaccine. And her claim is that Pfizer knew it and encouraged people to get it anyway.
Yeah, because they were making, you know, millions and millions of dollars off of it. They say it's free. Well, no, it's not really free. You might not be paying anything out of pocket that moment that you go get it, but it's still being paid for. Pfizer's not just out of the kindness of their heart saying, you know what, we just really want to help people here. We're going to make sure that everyone gets the shot for free. No charge. That's just bogus. So they are getting paid, buku bucks.
Yes.
Sharon on Facebook is saying, I'd be suing that hospital to the moon and back. There's many doctors that disagree with that position on the COVID jab. I totally agree, Sharon. I'd be suing as well. The problem, though, is that many of these doctors, in particular, who are tied to these big hospital groups, they have this whole thing of you have to push this down everyone's throats. And if you don't, or if you say anything negative about these vaccines, in particular the COVID vaccine, you're at risk of losing your medical license. So how many people who spent years and hundreds of thousands of dollars working for their degree are going to throw it away because of this vaccine? Now, if you have integrity, maybe you would be, some of them did do that. But I can understand why it's tough. You're the breadwinner of the family. I mean, it's just awful.
How many other times has this happened when the patient in this case didn't happen to have a connection like the vice president of the United States? I mean, how many times has this happened and you just never hear about it?
Yeah, I mean, I've read headlines about people who have died waiting for a transplant, and you just hope that that's not the outcome with this adorable 12-year-old girl, Adeline Deal.
We're not talking about somebody's job. We're talking about somebody's life.
Mm-hmm.
And they're making these decisions. It's not unlike COVID when the hospital systems in St. Louis and in St. Louis County, you could not go get ivermectin or a prescription for it from any doctor connected with Barnes Jewish or any of the local hospital systems,
mm-hmm.
because it came down from on high that we're not accepting that as part of protocol. That's how what's referred to it as. And I would argue that across this country they cost hundreds of thousands of lives.
And really, my take on that would be that Big Pharma's not profitable off a lot of these medications, why they don't
Pennies
want
the
them.
Dollar.
They don't want it pushed. I mean, there's so many just dark connections. Everyone's in bed with everyone, you know, there. And it's just anytime you have something like this that's being pushed on the American people when they're trying to say it's in the name of health, you really need to trace the money. You need to look at the study, who funded the study, who put the money into it, why. I mean, those are the first questions you need to ask. And that's one of the best things I was taught growing up was not what to think per se. It was how to think for myself, how to be willing to go against the grain. That was so incredibly valuable to learn as a young kid and growing up into adulthood. And you can see from my life and the way I've lived it that's still how I feel. You know, I'm not going to, if you go left, I'm more than willing to go right, you know, and I'm not saying it's not scary sometimes or I haven't hesitated, but we have to be willing to push back on these things and stand up for truth and what's right. And even though it gets ugly, at least you can walk away from a scenario saying, I still have my integrity. I stood up for what's right.
And people appreciate that. They do. Hey, by the way, coming up, speaking of people standing up for things, I want to get to this big win for Donald Trump yesterday with this judge, right, who said, you know, guess what? You could go ahead and carry through with that buyout. 75,000 federal workers have already signed up for it. The deadline was last night. We'll get to some more of those details for you coming up in just a minute. Stay tuned.
I think we're greatly disappointed in any Republican who chooses willfully to vote against the president's exceptionally qualified cabinet nominees and picks to lead his America First administration. Not a single Democrat swayed from voting against President Biden's nominees, and we know how many of them turned out. They turned out to be atrocious at their jobs, leaving America much worse than they were when they took the oath of office. And so I've said it repeatedly from this podium. I addressed it at the beginning of my remarks. We expect all Republicans to vote to stay tough and strong, vote for President Trump's nominee so we can get to work and continue to work very hard to implement this president's agenda.
Yeah, Caroline Leavitt continuing to be strong in the press briefing room. Tulsi Gabbard approved yesterday and sworn in by Pam Bondi. And the RFK vote is today. The countdown is on to when the Senate will have to vote this morning. And here's the embarrassing thing to me as an observation here is that I watched these confirmation hearings when Biden was selecting his cabinet. A lot of these were 60, 70, 80 votes for some of Biden's nominees. Every single nominee for Donald Trump has had maybe one Democrat vote in support of the nominee, and all of the rest of them as a block have voted no. For no apparent reason. Now, maybe if we do have any reason to be worried about Tulsi Gabbard, might have been the fact that she was all in at one point for Bernie Sanders. she endorsed him. She left the Democratic Party over the way he was treated. He voted against her in the Senate. She left her party because of the way they treated that man, and he didn't have the intestinal fortitude to stand up and vote for his friend because he's such a party apparatchik is what he is. They all are. The Republicans could take a lesson from that, honestly. When Democrats have power, they vote as a block, and they use it like a blunt force object, and Republicans refuse to do that. I mean, so far, they've enough of them have voted that we've gotten over the 51 vote it's necessary, but we've still got people like Mitch McConnell who flipped over and voted against Gabbard. I mean, seriously. This is what we've got to deal with in Washington, D.C., and it sucks, quite frankly. Let's talk about the big win yesterday, and we're going to hear more today about who Trump's going after for fraud and all that. But Donald Trump walked in and he said, "Listen, we need to pare down government, and how do we do that? Well, why don't we look at offering buyouts to federal employees?" Because, see, the Democrats were worried. They tried to put in civil service rules so that Donald Trump couldn't get in office and suddenly fire everyone. So they tried to put limits in place to keep him from doing that. He did an end run around them, and instead of firing people, he offered them buyouts if they would voluntarily leave government service after he ordered them back into the office. 75,000 took him up on it by the deadline last night at 7 o'clock. And now a judge who initially put a hold on that because the labor unions all went to court and tried to claim that it was unconstitutional, well, the judge ruled yesterday they have no standing. So it's full speed ahead. Now, I heard Gordon Deal bring up this morning, well, you know, it's possible that that if this funding bill doesn't pass in March, that those jobs won't be funded and they can't pay them as promised through September. Well, of course that's going to pass. It's going to pass because they won't even need cloture to do it. They'll just put it into one of these big bills. Everybody will vote on it. They don't even have to go to the Senate. The Democrats have done it before. The Republicans are going to do it. I want you to listen to how much the Democratic Party has changed since 1997. This is Al Gore and Bill Clinton talking about what they were going to do when they got in office in terms of cutting the budget.
Cut red tape. Streamline the bureaucracy. Change procurement rules. Change the personnel rules. And create a government that works better and costs less.
I've read it, and where it says the president should, the president will.
Among the 800 recommendations, eliminating 12% of the federal workforce, merging some government agencies like the FBI, the DEA, and the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, closing hundreds of government offices outside Washington.
From the day I took office, one of the commitments that I made to the American people was that we would do a better job here in Washington in rooting out wasteful spending.
Of course, you recognize that voice. So Clinton, Gore, and Obama all talked a big game and then went out and set up this bureaucracy, particularly under the Obama administration, where they could funnel your taxpayer dollars to their buddies in these liberal progressive NGOs. And then Lord knows where the money went. It lost all accountability once it left the federal government and went to these NGOs. They could spend it however they wanted. They could grease palms left and right. And my guess is this afternoon in this news conference, we're going to find out, we're going to get a glimpse into just maybe whose palm was greased. And I can't wait. Keep it up, baby. We're going to be back in just a minute. We'll talk more about the debt crisis for individuals in this country when we come back.
Get more at 971talk.com.